Well, thank you very much for all being here this morning, especially members of the legislature, but all of you. We're very excited to have this press conference to welcome you to a really impressive legislative package that our legislative leaders are going to spearhead at a very challenging time. My name is Drew Liebert. I am the director of the California Initiative for Technology and Democracy. We call it CITED. And we're very excited to engage now on obviously what's one of the toughest issues facing America today. My background actually was working almost 20 years in this building, as you remember, yes, as the chief counsel of the Assembly Judiciary Committee. And a great way to do work after that is to try to help protect our democracy. This program of CITED is actually sponsored by the California Common Cause, which you all know is one of the preeminent democracy protection groups in the state. And they got to understand that, you know, it's not just getting people to the voting locations or making sure they get ballots, that in the age of social media amplified disinformation, if we don't deal with those issues, getting people to the polls isn't going to do the trick to protect our democracy. So I want to thank especially the staff of the members here today who have done just an incredible job in making this happen today. And I'm going to just show you one quick video that's just literally less than 2 minutes that I think will nicely set the stage for the comments that the members are going to make today about their bills and why they're so important. So if we could start that, Ken. This is an interesting video that I think you'll find compelling.
I want to show you two video clips. One of them is real and one of them is fake. Can you tell which one's real? Okay, this one was kind of easy. Obviously, this is the fake one. Like, you can see the color on the face isn't quite right. The hair is obviously like a wig. But this video was like from a few years ago. Let's look at a more recent example. Look at these two clips. One of them is real and one of them is fake. Can you tell which one it is? Okay, what about these? Or these? Which one of these is fake and which one of these is real? Maybe you're some wizard and you could tell, but I couldn't. And my guess is that most people can't. That's because things have changed. In the last few years, we've crossed a threshold into a world where moving images are manipulated in ways that make them indistinguishable from reality. This is our new world. It is the world of high-quality deepfakes.
The catastrophic potential to public trust and to markets that could come from deepfake attacks.
This is happening quicker than any of us could have imagined. So I want to get you up to speed on what's happening with deepfakes, how they're revolutionizing entertainment, and creating new challenges and fears for the people who make our laws and the people who enforce those laws.
Make it look like anyone is signed anytime at any point.
Ultimately, I want to show you how much of a threat deepfakes actually pose and answer the biggest question of all. What is even real?
Imagine if manufacturing on a...
Wow. I saw that and was really struck by it because what a question we're now facing in our society and in our politics and our government, right? The question, what is even real anymore? And obviously, what is truth? We're starting to obviously lose a sense of what that can be because of these new technologies. So today, the great policymakers in front of me are going to be announcing their legislative package. And I just want to set a little stage for that. Every day, we are seeing headlines of these enormous risks that they're trying to address now. Just today in the New York Times was the headline, House passes bill to force TikTok sale because of the threats that are posed by that enormous social media company. And the Massachusetts Institute of Technology tech report had this headline this morning, which some of you may have seen, let's not make the same mistakes with AI that we made with social media. So we've just concluded one of California's most competitive primary elections in years, and we're now looking ahead towards what we know will be a monumentally consequential general election in the thick of what is truly our first AI election. We don't know where it's going to go. We know that deep fakes are going to continue to overwhelm our political discourse, leaving voters unsure of what images, audio, or video they can even begin to trust. And alarmingly, just as this is happening, we've all read these articles about the social media companies, many of them saying that they've dramatically cut their trust and safety teams that are tasked with trying to prevent this disinformation. Sadly, the American public is understandably not prepared. Imagine false audio of an election official caught on tape, allegedly, saying that their voting machines can be hacked. That's now easy to make. In fact, the first known attempt to use artificial intelligence in this election was actually put together by a magician in New Orleans, you may have read about, who actually is the one who created that deep fake audio of our president allegedly telling Democrats not to vote in the New Hampshire primary. It was very persuasive. It goes, obviously, it's a bipartisan challenge. Ron DeSantis, of course, did a deep fake of former President Trump, and that was very deceptive as well. So we must act now. That's why CITED is partnering with these great leaders to see if there are ways that we could at least make some incremental progress in slowing down the social media amplified disinformation that we're all facing. My final comments before I get to introduce our panelists today. A few things I wanted to make clear about all of this legislative package that you all have put together so well. These members are not trying, of course, to address all of AI's threats. That's impossible. So we are all focusing on the effort to protect voters from disinformation and to protect our democracy. Everyone's fully aware of these First Amendment constraints. Supporters of the First Amendment, we love free speech. So we are trying for transparency, but certainly not censorship. We know that they are pro-innovation, and these bills have been crafted to ensure that we protect innovation while at the same time trying to surgically address these problems. And we're trying to be as nonpartisan in this approach as possible, because these aren't partisan issues. Whether you're a Republican member of the legislature or a Democratic member of the legislature, if someone deepfakes you in a very unfair way, it's going to be harmful and you're not going to have too much recourse to try to solve that problem. So with it, I want to now introduce just a quick technologist that is very aware of these issues and who's a member of the CITED team. Smita Rajmohan is a counsel at a very impressive technology firm, Autodesk, and just has a few preliminary comments. If you could come up, Smita, that would be great. And then we will turn to the key part of our conference, which is the members talking about these bills.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Drew, and all the legislators here today for giving me this opportunity to speak about this important topic. I want to begin by stating I am speaking in my individual capacity and not on behalf of my employer. The rise of AI has undoubtedly made it easier for disinformation to spread, raising concerns not just among those in the public and the policymakers, but also those that are in the tech industry like myself. What makes this moment in our history of tech innovation so unique is that through AI-generated deepfakes with fabricated news articles, targeted social media campaigns, and falsehoods can now be disseminated at an unprecedented scale and speed. But something that doesn't really get talked about nearly enough is that disinformation is also bad for business. The proliferation of disinformation poses significant risks to businesses as well as the community. Inaccurate or misleading information circulating online can harm brand reputation, erode customer trust, and ultimately impact the bottom line. Businesses are increasingly recognizing the importance of combating this issue, not just for ethical reasons, but for their own sustainability. The spread of misinformation can create a challenging environment for businesses to operate in. It often leads to consumer confusion, hinders effective communication strategies, and creates legal and regulatory compliance challenges. Addressing these issues requires a multifaceted approach that involves collaboration between public and private sectors. As AI capabilities evolve, so do the methods used to manipulate information. AstroTurfing, deepfakes, data poisoning, impersonation of public figures, and malicious use of AI assistance are all real threats, no longer theoretical. When it comes to addressing these challenges, well-thought-out regulation plays a crucial role. It provides ethical guidelines for businesses, enabling them to design AI products responsibly. Bills that focus on authenticating AI-generated content on social media platforms and detecting deepfakes are crucial steps forward. By implementing such measures, we can bolster the integrity of our democratic processes and protect the public from the harmful effects of misinformation. Contrary to the belief that regulation stifles innovation, well-designed regulation can actually foster innovation. Clear guidelines provide businesses with a roadmap for compliance, freeing up resources that would otherwise be spent navigating uncertain legal landscapes. Finally, it is imperative that we align the objectives of AI with the best interests of humanity. AI should serve to enhance our lives, not undermine them. This means emphasizing the values such as transparency, fairness, and accountability in AI development and deployment. In a world where AI's capabilities are expanding rapidly, it is crucial to remember it's not just about the outputs of AI, but the outcomes for society. Let's ensure that as we navigate this era of innovation, we prioritize ethical conversations and responsible regulations. Because in the end, the impact of AI on our lives and our democracy hinges not on what it can do, but on what we choose to do with it. Let's shape a future where AI enriches, not deceives, where it empowers, not manipulates. The future of AI is in our hands. Let's make it a future that we can trust, focusing on outcomes, not just outputs. Thank you.
By the way, this is just a deep fake image that we will all recognize, that moment in our history already where someone put that image up, and within literally a half hour, the stock market went down, I think it was $500 billion, something like that, lots of money, until it was clarified that, yes, the Pentagon was not blown up. That shows you just how quickly these technologies can affect our society. So it's my pleasure now to bring up our first legislator, who's a fantastic consumer advocate. Senator Padilla is the author of Senate Bill 1228, which we'll bring up our little poster board on. He's a lifelong public servant, has had many great public service stints, as well as in law enforcement, focusing to protect our kids, which is of course, so critically important. Stints as chair of the California Coastal Commission to protect our coast. And he just has really been fighting to protect consumers, and we know we're all consumers of political information right now. So thank you for coming up and talking a bit about your bill, Senator.
Well, good morning. And it's a pleasure to be here with the initiative and with my distinguished colleagues in the Assembly. To talk about the bill package and the collaboration. But first and foremost, you know, I've always said information and knowledge is power. And intentionally manipulated what passes for information that is indistinguishable from truth is a threat to popular sovereignty and no less an invitation to tyranny. And we are living in such a time where younger and newer generations that follow many of us are literally unable, ill-equipped, and unsupported in their inability to distinguish reality from manipulated information and the perception of reality, leaving them and our society, and in a republic, our electorate, more and more vulnerable to manipulation. I'm proud to stand here with Cited. We're entering an election season. I'll reiterate, it was mentioned a few minutes ago, in which disinformation, as it was said a few minutes ago, powered by generative AI and foreign governments, can pollute our information ecosystems in a way unprecedented in American history. Bad actors and foreign bots now have the ability to create fake videos and images and spread misinformation to millions at the touch of a button. Users today have no effective way of distinguishing content produced by a reputable news source, a trustworthy person, or a foreign bot. Other industries, familiar and necessary, banks, Credit card companies are required to take steps to verify consumer identities and to understand their activities to protect against fraud, corruption, and illegal activity. Online platforms such as social media or video sharing websites have no such requirement at the moment. No other industry is allowed to self-regulate like this, so why do we make an exception for the omnipotent tech industries? We're still learning of the incredible harm and potential harm that social media has had on young people. We know of Russian attempts, to be specific, to influence our election integrity here at home. We need to ensure that our content platforms protect against the kind of malicious interference that we now know is very possible. This is why, in partnership with Cited, I have introduced Senate Bill 1228, which would require large online platforms to verify the identity of users with more than 25,000 followers or that have shared more than 1,000 pieces of AI-generated content. The platforms would be required to verify the name of the account owner, their phone number, and their email. For accounts over 100,000 followers or sharing more than 5,000 pieces of AI-generated content, the platform would be required to verify through government-issued identification. If the account is unable to or unwilling to verify their identity, the platform will be required to flag it, to alert the public and users, who will then be able to opt out of receiving posts from these unverified accounts and sources. Protection like those articulated in the bill and others are necessary and required to not relive the hard lessons we learned with the advent of the World Wide Net. These are measures on how California can continue to be a leader on election security, and I look forward to working with my distinguished colleagues with Cited and hoping to persuade our colleagues in the legislature to move these important pieces of legislation forward. And I thank you.
Okay. Obviously, these are ambitious, challenging, and critically important. And our next speaker is a true leader for many, many years on election issues in our democracy. Assemblywoman Pellerin I look at her wealth of experience on elections administration, and she served for over 27 years as the chief elections official in Santa Cruz County. She currently chairs the Assembly Committee on Elections and is spearheading a number of bills ensuring accuracy and protection for California's democracy, including AB 2839. And I can just tell you, she is just so insightful about these issues, and we're so grateful to be partnering together. We're really grateful, Gail. Thank you. Come on up.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you all for being here. Thank you to my team and my incredible colleagues who are in this with me. My name is Gail Pellerin, and as Drew said, I served as the chief elections official in Santa Cruz County for over 27 years. I'm very familiar with all the different ways people try to impact an election. And AI is something that concerns me very, very much. And in my role now as a state assembly member and chair of the elections committee, it is my I'm dedicated to protecting democracy and making sure our laws ensure fair and transparent and accurate elections. There have always been bad actors who try to wreak havoc on elections. I remember an election where people distributed door hangers, which gave people the wrong polling location in order to disrupt the election outcome. But now the widespread access to generative AI is making that type of damage so much more sophisticated and easier to disseminate. This year, California is entering its first ever election during which disinformation powered by generative AI will pollute our information ecosystems like never before. And millions of voters will not know what images, audio, or video they can trust. Some of you may have heard about a robocall of President Biden, we heard about that earlier, encouraging voters not to participate in the primary election in New Hampshire a few months ago. That AI-generated robocall was a prime example of nefarious uses of AI which seek to disrupt our elections. Imagine another example in which a deepfake video depicts a candidate running for office doing or saying something that they did not say or do, or a deceptive video of an elections official saying that they rigged the votes in favor of one candidate. With generative AI, deceptive videos like these can be more easily created and distributed online. This type of technology can create insurmountable damage to election outcomes. That's why I'm very proud to be working with CITED on AB 2839 to prohibit bad actors from distributing AI-generated mailers, robocalls, and video ads that are materially deceptive to voters. The bill prioritizes a rapid response to injunctive relief and applies to disinformation about candidates, running for office, election officials, voting procedures, and other matters surrounding the integrity of our elections. Getting the right information to voters is crucial to a functioning democracy, and it becomes very difficult to ensure the integrity of the election when these deep fakes are spread online, by phone, or through the mail to intentionally misinform the public. I look forward to working with CITED and my colleagues in the legislature in passing this important bill. Thank you so much.
The third member of our incredible legislative team has a long history. In fact, is really the leader of dealing with deepfakes in the state of California. 5 years ago, Assemblyman Berman was prescient to say, this is a danger to our democracy. We need to deal with it. And he managed to navigate through a challenging legislative environment to get the law in place that we're now going to strengthen with his help. Particularly impressive to me is that Assemblyman Berman represents the heart of Silicon Valley. And needless to say, has to balance these competing interests of innovation while at the same time trying our best to protect against massive disinformation that these platforms can lead to. He previously chaired the Elections Committee, so is very well versed in these election challenges as well, of course, and is now the chair of the Business and Professions Committee. And we're very excited to be partnering with Mark on this bill, AB 2655. Thank you. Thank you, Assemblyman.
Well, thanks so much, Drew, and thanks to the team at CITED. This is going to sound dorky. I got really excited when I first heard that your organization was created and the work that you were focused on. And I'm really grateful to be teaming up with you, teaming up with my fantastic colleagues from the Senate and the Assembly to focus on this really critically important issue. And as Drew mentioned, 5 years ago, I authored what appears to have been the first deepfake bill in the nation. I did this after watching a different video, which was a video that from Jordan Peele, the actor and director and producer, who did a deepfake on President Obama back in 2018. It was funny, I guess former President Obama, if it was in 2018. It was funny, but it also set off alarm bells, as you could easily see how this promising technology could be abused by bad actors to undermine our democracy and destabilize the country. The potential harm was fairly limited back then. However, as the technology to make a deepfake was expensive and not widely available. Just a few short years later, the technology is better, cheaper, and is now accessible to anyone with a smartphone. Today, it is far easier to make a realistic deepfake, and we are seeing AI being used to undermine elections across the globe and here in America. As technology changes, so too must our laws. It's not just policymakers that are concerned. The California public is demanding that we act to minimize disinformation and protect our democracy. According to a recent Berkeley IGS poll, 84% of California voters overall are concerned about the dangers that disinformation, deepfakes, and artificial intelligence pose to this year's election in 2024. Nearly 3 in 4 voters, 73%, believe that state government has a responsibility to take action to protect them from this deceptive content. And this isn't a partisan issue. A majority of Democrats, Republicans, and no party preference voters believe this way. That's why I'm so proud to partner with Cited on AB 2655, which will ensure that online platforms restrict the spread of election-related deceptive deepfakes meant to prevent voters from voting or to deceive them based on fraudulent content. And this is just, you know, all of our bills combined will create the regulatory framework that's really necessary to protect our voters, to protect our democracy. You know, that's why I'm especially, you know, proud to be a part of this very comprehensive effort to make sure that we, as a state government, address while still fostering the innovation that this technology can and the potential and the promise that this technology will create for society, also minimize the risks and the harms that we know it can also create. So really proud to author AB 2655. I'll turn it back over to Drew.
Great, and I think what we'll do is we'll have you both come up as well and see if you could stay. And we'll see if we have any questions. Most of the press people these days talking about Silicon Valley and technology, most of them now get to do their press work through live stream.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so they get to sit at home in their pajamas and
Not all of them, though.
You could wear pajamas, but we're grateful that you're here.
She's got her phone recording everything.
So I just want to check to see, Ken, if we have any questions that have come in from folks on the live stream.
Yes, we have. So,
okay.
First question is, what happens if the legislature does not act now on this issue?
Okay. You want to take that?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I mean, I think we're seeing what happens if the legislature doesn't act now, which is we're seeing bad actors, whether they be foreign bad actors, domestic bad actors, utilize this technology, utilize AI, utilize deepfakes to influence create the appearance of candidates or elected officials doing or saying something that they did not say or do. That influencing or having the potential to influence our elections. And so, we're seeing it happen in other countries. We're seeing it happen in the presidential primary. I think with pretty good certainty can know that it's going to happen in our elections in California, which is why it's so important for all of these bills to get passed and signed into law.
Well, and I would just
please.
I would just add that my colleague, Assemblymember Berman, was on the forefront of this and a trailblazer on this issue back in 2017, I think.
19.
Okay, but we also have the Office of Cybersecurity with the Secretary of State's office. That was 2017, right?
That was 2017 or 18.
Yeah, so we have been working in this space and will continue to do so to stay ahead of the bad actors.
Absolutely.
Only if you're in your pajamas.
In respect to a broader effort that I am undertaking in the Senate, and you'll be seeing a little bit more about this in the coming weeks, in terms of the scope and impact of AI generally. I think the European Union adopted a set of principles that are focused more on consumer protection rather than on proliferation or innovation. We saw the White House office recently issue a set of guidelines, and everyone from the NGO sector to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce have issued pillars or principles that they think should guide. So the short answer is, I have no doubt that my colleagues and certainly my office has engaged diligently with every level of government and with thinking practitioners, people in the industry, and people looking to protect against consumer exploitation around the globe, nationally, and here in California. I think it's important to also remember the urgency to act is made even more important because, to be blunt, the dysfunction of our own politics. We have divided government at the very same time, and we have 50 sovereign states and other territories that have a position to play here at a time when this is being deliberately introduced and manipulated, and the government can't seem to get on the same page. I hope that California, as we lead in so many other ways around the nation, that this can be an example that the largest state in the union can act together.
I would only add with these members that a very basic function that Cited is playing is interfacing with folks from the EU. One of our members right now is actually in Brussels meeting with EU regulators. We're wanting to bring that information to these legislative leaders to make sure that we are on exactly the same page as the dramatic work that the EU is doing. I point out to people that the EU is not constrained by one of the most important Bill of Rights we have in this country called the First Amendment. And that constraint that we face really makes it difficult to craft the bills that are so important in the state legislature. California will certainly be a leader on these issues. We have more bills in the hopper right now on AI and election protection, yes, than any state in the country. And we've led the way on privacy, obviously, that other states have followed. And I have no doubt that with their leadership, we're going to lead the way on these AI protections as well.
Mm-hmm. Just briefly, also, you'll see, at least in the text of my bill, that I take a relatively similar approach that the EU did, of a tiered approach. So identifying what are the highest risks and having different different sort of obligations necessary depending on that level of risk, which I know the EU took as well with deciding to prohibit certain things and then also regulate other types of content. So definitely, a lot of collaboration.
Another question, Ken.
Yeah, there's a question around Senator Padilla, your bill. What are some of the First Amendment kind of implications to kind of requiring, large accounts for having to kind of verify the information?
I would argue that the implications for the regulations suggested in my bill go to the integrity of what is being proffered as information. It isn't something that's going to stifle free expression. It is only going to inform the consumer of information so that they can make an informed decision and put that information in proper context.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, sir, we're doing musical chairs here.
I'm trying to balance things out.
Yeah, sure. So folks have talked about kind of the efforts in California. So why California specifically, to parallel efforts in other states, maybe some contrast with other states, and also why California is important to regulate here?
Why should California lead the way?
Well, California has always been a leader, and especially in the area of protecting democracy. So we were the first state to implement provisional voting back in the day when people were turned away from voting on election day because something was off with their voter registration. And when we started that, other states came on board as well. So I think California is absolutely the right place to start with this.
I'll just also add, because Congress isn't. And so we need to, and we need to do what we can to protect our 39 million residents. And we need a hope, as we've seen in a lot of other policy areas, that what we do gets adopted by other states across the country. And so in regards to my bill, this is actually building upon what I did 5 years ago, but it's also because we've seen other states improve upon what we did 5 years ago. And so, it's constantly trying to iterate, constantly trying to improve as the landscape, as the technology landscape shifts and as we identify new harms.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll stop there because you have to actually work.
Time flies.
Yes, thank you all for coming. Obviously, the hard work now begins. This is the easy part, to say what we want to do. We're hoping that this turns out to be a bipartisan effort. And I say bipartisan because these issues are affecting everyone, right? And if it can become bipartisan, and if there is sufficient support, some of these bills just might be able to be urgency measures, which would mean they would take effect immediately upon Governor Newsom's signature. And we hope that that is the level of success that we'll be able to have in this process to protect everyone. So thank you so much for coming today.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate you very much.
Good pleasure. Thank you. It was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
It's going to be good.
I appreciate your leadership.